Good morning.
Good morning.
It got quiet all of a sudden, but good to see you this morning. Welcome each one, and a special welcome to Mr. Jacob Tooney. Good to see you, sir, serving our military, most recently in a land that's different shades of brown, right? So blues and greens are nice to see, and it's nice to see you. Jacob will be with us for just a couple of days, and then he's heading back to Fort Bliss. That just sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. I guess him and Joel will be driving on Tuesday, and then taking Matthew's truck down there, and then they Joel will fly back after. Joel doesn't want to stay down there for some reason. I don't know, but good to see you, Jacob, and. Appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate all of you being here this morning. And just as a way of announcement, Pastor is not feeling well today. So we've got backup Pastor Milo. So glad that you are able to step in and bring us the message from God's Word this morning. So a couple of announcements. First of all, Derek and Christine Twigg have made the move. Packed up all their stuff in Colorado, and they've got a moving van full of things that needs to be unloaded this afternoon. So if you are able to help out, sounds like so far they don't have too many people that are helping. So if you've got some time this afternoon, about 2 o'clock at Champion Storage, that's on Playbird Road, and it is east of I-43. So if you get west of 43, you're on the wrong side. But look up the address. I've got the address as well, 3708 Playbird Road. But if you're able to help out with the twigs unloading, and it's just taking the stuff off the truck, putting it into storage for now, so probably be fairly quick, that would be most appreciated. Teens, you've got an activity scheduled for this week. Do a little frisbee golf. That all depends, of course, if we get enough teens signed up on the information center. So if this is something you want to take part in, please sign up for the activity this Friday, 5:30 to 10:30 at night. And more information there is located at the information center. I think those were the only things I was supposed to mention. Maria told me those were the most important things. The address for the Lehmans, if you're interested, is in your bulletin. If you want to write them a letter, they are in Colorado enjoying the grandkids and being close to family. All right, as we go to prayer this morning, our person of the week is Matthew Tooney. And, you know, one of his praises was that he got to see his brother Jacob. And so we're really happy for that. Matthew's also praying for a close friend for salvation, and that the Lord will continue to guide and direct in his future, and also safety while traveling this week. Our missionary of the week is the Moorheads, Jonathan and Sharon. And just some updates there. They had a time of furlough earlier this year, but they are back in their mission field. And so far, things are going okay in relation to COVID over there. All of the activities are still going on, but we'll pray for a church intern there by the name of Joseph Spooner and some other things as well. And then our persecuted saints of the week this morning. Sure, we're all aware of the situation in Afghanistan. Now that the Taliban has taken back over, it has made being a believer in Afghanistan even harder. And so we will pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. So open our service this morning with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just bow before your holy throne this morning with hearts that are filled with gratitude, Lord, for your many blessings to us. Father, we live in a land that is free, Lord, and we are free to worship and basically free of persecution. Father, we know that that might not always be the case for us here in America. So, Lord, strengthen our hearts and our faith this morning. Lord, as we listen to our brother Milo, and Father, we just pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon him, Father, as he delivers the message this morning. And may our hearts be receptive, Father, to what you have for us this morning. We do pray for Pastor Kurt and pray that this current sickness and illness would pass quickly, Lord, and that you would restore him to full strength and health. And Father, we just look forward to his return and being amongst us again. Lord, we pray for our person of the week, for Matthew Tooney, Lord. Just thank you for this young man and for his faithfulness to you, Lord. Father, I know he is looking forward to being baptized at our next service. And we just pray that you would continue, Lord, your guidance and direction in his life. Lord, his focus is upon you and doing what pleases you. Father, we pray with him that you would intervene in this close friend's life, Lord. His request is that this friend would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, this is something that your Holy Spirit would just, we pray that he would just work on their hearts and mind, that it would be open and that they would understand that they are a sinner in need of salvation, Lord. And Father, that you would just minister and help Matthew and give him opportunities to share the hope that is within him, Father. Lord, we thank you and praise you that he was able to see his brother Jacob this week, and continue to pray for Jacob as he heads back to Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas, Lord, and looking forward to the conclusion of his military service in about 5 months. But just continue to work in his life as well. Lord, we just thank you for Matthew and everything that you're doing in his life as well. Father, we pray now for the Moorhead family, for Jonathan and Sharon. And Lord, we just thank you for the time that they had visiting back in the States here this earlier in the summer and spring. And Father, we just thank you that they were able to get their oldest son, Nahum, transitioned into college. And Father, we thank you that as he continues college in Louisville, Lord, that you would just be with him and guide him and direct him. And Father, that you would just show him the way that you want him to go. Father, we pray for the church that they are ministering at, and we thank you that they are able to continue most of their activities. Father, for the women's and men's groups that are continuing in their classes on systematic theology, as well as leadership training for the men. Father, we pray for this young man, Joseph, Lord, as he trains with Pastor Radick and also Jonathan. And Father, the goal here is that he would become a full-fledged ordained pastor and go out and start another church there in the Czech Republic. So Father, we do pray that you would help Joseph, Lord, and continue to guide and direct in his life, strengthen his faith in you, Lord. And may he also be a strong voice and witness for you in that dark land. Father, we thank you, too, for safety and all of their travels. And, Lord, we just pray that as they continue their ministry at the European Bible College and Center for Apologetics and Evangelism, Lord, that the classes would be fruitful and, Lord, that much growth would result as from those classes. And, Father, we do want to bring our persecuted saints before your throne today, Lord. And Father, for the brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, was always a tough way to practice your faith, Lord. They more or less had to practice in secret for fear of being persecuted or even put to death. And Lord, now with the change in government there and the Taliban taking back over, Father, has made it that much more difficult. And Lord, there are even reports that the Taliban are going door to door looking for believers to persecute. So Father, we pray that you would protect those that have put their faith and trust in you. Father, that you would strengthen their faith. Lord, that you would overwhelm them with the peace of God that passes all understanding as they face this trying time where they are. Father, we pray that you would encourage them, and Lord, that they would be even more bold to share their faith, Lord. So we do pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan this morning. Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning to raise praises to your name. And Father, we thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our service this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And again, we do have this the privilege to be able to praise our Lord today, even in the middle of these this trying time in Afghanistan. 11 days, things turned on its head in Afghanistan, and so I'm so thankful for that we had the chance to pray for them today. But today, as we sing, why don't we sing just as boldly as we can about how the power of our God to be able to comfort us and comfort those even under persecution in Afghanistan. So why don't we stand together? We're going to sing At the Cross, and let's sing this out.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree.
Sing it out.
At the cross where I first saw the light, when the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received now I am happy all the day.
Powerful words, powerful words. So why don't we sing, I sing the mighty power of God. Especially you men, let's hear the bass coming out. I love this song. Let's sing it.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shall fall at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below thy glories known, and not a vine that is blown by order of thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Great singing this morning. On Jordan's stormy banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When I shall see my Savior's face and in his bosom rest. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that every soul here within this room could be able to say confidently that they are bound for the promised land. I pray that if there is even one or anyone here not confident that they would of where they would go for eternity, I pray, Lord, that they would cry out to you, that they would cry out for your mercy for their sins and accept the salvation that you've offered freely by the sacrifice on the cross. Lord, I pray for this offering. I pray this is a time of a blessing to expand your kingdom here where we are. Help us give freely today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you would please stand with me, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23, starting in verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath of Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for burying place, and that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me for me Hebron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is the end of the field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephraim was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went into the gate of his city. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land and said to Ephraim, In the hearing of the people of the land. But if you will, hear me, I give the price of the field, accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with a cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, throughout its whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of the city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre. This is Hebron. In the land of Canaan, the field over the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for burying place by the Hittites.
So our next song before the sermon here is How Firm a Foundation. And I really want to, I've been praying about just what to say about a song like this. This song is so powerful in its history. It's a song many of us have been singing for decades. I really challenge you today as we're thinking of everything that our lives are built on, the foundation that you stand on every single day. I pray that these words will be a great comfort to you about the God in heaven who is your strength each and every day. So let's sing How Firm a Foundation.
Of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will build, I will grow, undeserved to His foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Amen. I pray that's your story today. You may be seated.
Good morning. So I got a call Friday night from Pastor Kurt telling me he was sick, and asked if I would deliver a message. And instant anxiety hit my heart, naturally. And about 10 minutes after that, as we were eating supper, I looked up on the ceiling and I saw water dripping from my kitchen ceiling. And I thought that was kind of strange since there's no water pipes up there. And I found out that our air conditioner was plugged up. We have an air conditioner in the ceiling because we have hot water heat with no air ducts. So they had to put it up in the attic. And one of the lines plugged up and the water overflowed and came into our kitchen. So, but praise the Lord, my younger son jumped into action and went up in the attic and drilled a hole just right, and we cleaned out the line and everything was good. So anxiety, we have it. It comes no matter if a person is a weak Christian or you're a strong Christian. It doesn't matter. Worry and frustration is going to happen. And what we do with it is what really matters. I get a lot of magazines from Joel back there, and I really appreciate that. One of the magazines that he gave to me was called Lamplighters. It's a prophecy magazine. And in there, there's a short beginning of a letter from Dr. Albert Mohler, who is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And this is what he said. There can be no doubt about the predicament of Christians in the 21st century. We are facing an increasingly hostile culture that is sold out to secularism. We are witnessing before our eyes the clash of the world views. Indeed, the world around us has championed godless ideologies that, far from securing flourishing peace, only reap destruction and chaos. There is a profound moral confusion in our culture, which raises an important question for Christians longing to live faithfully in this secular moment. What is our response? We might be tempted to confront the culture with the power of the ballot box. Perhaps we can turn the tide of moral decline by winning elections, securing seats on the Supreme Court, and electing certain people to every sphere of government who will enact righteous laws. Elections do indeed matter, and they have enormous consequences. Christians, therefore, have a faithful stewardship to consider in the public square. Politics and political parties, however, are not the most significant answer for Christ's people. It is not the first importance of the church. The state of our culture and the realities of secularization can only be met with the power of the gospel. And then he concludes with this. If Christians will be found faithful, we will need more of God's word, not less. If the church is found faithful, it will be because we continue to preach without apology the full counsel of God's infallible, inerrant, authoritative word. Living in a world of where wrong is right and right is wrong, it's happening. And it causes stress and anxiety, and it does. We can easily fall into the trap of Asaph in Psalm 73. If many of you older Christians, you remember that psalm. Asaph was faced with the same things that we basically are faced with today. He became envious of the arrogant, and I just picked out a few things in the psalm. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. They had all they wanted to eat, and it seemed like they had no problems or worries. He said, pride is their necklace. He said, the imaginations of their heart run riot. He said, they are always at ease, and they increase with wealth through evil gains. He said, it's not fair. I struggled to keep my heart pure. He washed his hands in innocence. He seemed like he's stricken daily. Can you relate with that? Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? I'm going to just quickly read it. Verses that you already know. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, rivalers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good rather than haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Folks, living among these things, we can start believing lies in our own heart. We really can. We can start rationalizing things if we do not stay in the Word of God. These are some of the things you could start rationalizing. There is no way I can stay pure here on this earth. I can follow my own way and still live a holy life. I can be satisfied with following Jesus wholeheartedly, treasuring God's word in my heart has no particular result. Wealth is necessary for my happiness. I only rejoice in God's word when I have to. Occasionally, reading God's word is enough. Even if I do it out of duty, I don't have to enjoy it. Have you fallen into this trap? It is a trap. How many times do we pick up a regular secular book rather than pick up the Word of God? Or in our quiet times, we usually go to our daily bread, which is only one or two verses, and feel as though that's enough. I'm just too busy today. We fall into that trap, folks. And we, at this time in the stage of life, have to get into the Word of God and study it. If you haven't already, I'm going to ask you to take out your handouts. And in that handout, you're going to find, I labeled this, Steps for a Pure Mind. Do you want to have a pure mind? When the Bible talks about the heart, it's actually talking about the mind. We're going to be going through Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. The theme that I've chosen is victory over anxiety. Here's a question for you. How can a young man keep his way pure? Look at the bottom of your sheet. By keeping it according to thy word. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses, I'll be reading 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in the statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thank you for your inerrant word. This written so long ago in another time and another culture, thousands of years ago, Lord, still speaks to us today. The importance of knowing you, the importance of having a relationship with you, the importance of reading your word that we understand all that you expect of us. And Lord, to know that we can have a relationship with you because of what your Son has done for us on the cross. I humbly ask, as I prayed many times this morning, that your Holy Spirit would truly be the preacher here. Would your Spirit illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds, that we would leave here changed with an energy of digging into your word and learning all that you have for us. I dedicate this time to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. The psalmist says, with all my heart I have sought thee. The first number step if we want to have a pure mind, is to desire the Word of God. Desire the Word of God. When it comes to the heart, when the scripture talks about the heart, 800 times the heart is used in the Old Testament. And 200 times it deals with the thoughts, the emotions, and the will of an individual. It's what makes us up. It's not what we look on the outside. It's what's made up on the inside. But we are going to deal with the portion of this, of the thought life. The thought life. With all my heart I have sought thee. Turn quickly to Proverbs chapter 4. It's the next book over, Proverbs chapter 4. Look at the advice Solomon gives his son, starting in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, and they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Here we go. 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Watch over your heart, verse 23, or your thoughts with all diligence. With all diligence. What Solomon is saying here is God-controlled thought life must be protected and cultivated. It must be protected and cultivated. You know, now is the time that... Are you enjoying sweet corn for this summer? I don't know about you, but the farmer next to us out by us usually plants sweet corn. And he plants it across the road from me, which is really tempting, but of course we don't do that. But anyway, he's got a short patch, and it's probably about as wide as this church, but it's about a quarter mile long. And I usually take a walk in the morning, and I usually try walking about a mile. And anyway, he's coming with his little cart, and I look down the road, and he's got posts all the way down the row of corn. And it goes a quarter of a mile. And on the other side, posts all the way down a quarter of a mile. And he's got wires stretched on these posts about a half a foot high. And I looked, and he came to me, and he was talking, oh, we need more rain, you know, da-da, just like farmers always talk. And I said, what are you doing here, Gary? He says, oh, he says those doggone raccoons, they keep getting into my sweet corn, and they're ripping all my sweet corn out. And I said, oh, yeah, that happens. So he says, I'm putting up an electric fence, a quarter mile long on both sides. And then he had two strands going across around this fence. And he says he's got it on a solar cell, but he said that solar cell, I can put my fingers on there and I hardly feel anything. So I probably are going to have to get a generator. To run a generator all night for sweet corn so the raccoons don't get it. This farmer is serious about sweet corn. You see, he's out to protect that sweet corn. He's out to protect it. And he cultivates it. He goes in the rows and makes sure there's no weeds growing up. And it's the best sweet corn our family has ever eaten. It's really good. But the great lengths that he goes through to cultivating and protecting that sweet corn is what we need to do with our minds. That's what we need to do. We need to go through great lengths, and I'm not talking about wrapping barbed wire around your head, okay? But what I'm talking about is going through great lengths to protect our mind. And Scripture says when we desire God's Word, that's what God's Word does. Because when you start doing that, it starts affecting what comes out of your mouth. Look at verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips from you. When your thoughts are God-centered, He governs your speech. He governs what comes out of your mouth. Jesus says it's not what defiles a mouth, that defiles the person, what goes into the mouth. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. You'll find that in Matthew 15:11. We can very easily, when it comes to telling white lies or gossiping or whatever the case may be, if we are not into God's Word, we will not have truthful speech. Because, folks, we have a sinful heart. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. A man and a woman were driving in a car, and as they were driving in the car, all of a sudden the man looks in the rearview mirror and hears a red light going, and a police officer stops him. And he quickly puts on his seatbelt. He never wears it. So he gets, when the officer comes up, the officer, he says, "What's wrong, officer?" He says, "Well, I noticed that your back light is out." "Oh," he goes, "I didn't know that." And his wife next to him says, "Honey, you knew that. You knew that 2 days ago." And he looks at his wife and just stares at her, and the officer takes the pen and starts writing a ticket. And he says, "And sir, I want you to be truthful." He said, "Did you have your seatbelt on?" "Absolutely, I put my seatbelt on every time I get into this car." His wife says, "Honey, you were putting it on before he got out of his car because you said you hate seatbelts." He looked at his wife and he started grumbling at her. The officer took another sheet, started writing out a ticket. And he says, "And I got one more thing, sir." He said, "I noticed that your car is out of registration, so you need to get that registered." And he says, "Well, that's the motor vehicle department. They're supposed to send me a notice." The wife says, "Honey, I told you 2 months ago I put it on your desk with that notice. And you knew that." And the husband looked at the wife. He says, "Woman, I want you to keep your mouth shut." And the officer stopped and he looked at the man and he bent down by the woman and he says, "Does your husband always talk to you like that?" And she says, "Oh, no, officer, only when he's drunk." Govern your speech. When you're in the Word of God, when God is number one in your life, when you desire the Word of God, He will govern your speech. You won't have to do it. It'll be automatic because the Spirit lives within us. And then He's going to govern our sight. Look at verse 25. "Let your eyes look directly ahead of you, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." When we desire the Word of God, when we make it number one in our life, God Himself will guard our sight. Matthew 6:20-23, if you turn there quickly. Matthew 6, we're going to be looking at quite a few verses, so get your swords ready. Matthew 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The lamp of the body is the eye. You see, when desiring God, you will start seeing things from God's perspective and not your own. God will start governing what you are looking at. If you are looking at things that you shouldn't be, the Holy Spirit will give you a good shaking. Desire the Word of God. And then, if we desire the Word of God, according to verse 26, look there in Proverbs again, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. He will guide your steps. Turn back quickly to Psalm 1. I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's the person that God guides a step. He stays away from evil situations. He watches what kind of friends he hangs out with. He only hangs out with people that would give glory to God and want to do what's right. God will do that when you desire His Word. He does it. So the step number one is to desire the Word of God. You won't see this up on the screen, but I need to read 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, the desire to hurt someone, and all guile, to hide something, or hypocrisy, not being your real self, or envy, judging someone, and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Long for the pure milk of the Word. You see, back now in Psalm 119, verse 10, it says, I have with all my heart I have sought me, do not let me wander from my commandments. That commandments actually means the authoritative order. The authoritative order that God has placed on us. You know, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's a command. We are commanded to use our spiritual gifts. We are commanded to train others to serve Him. We are commanded to build the young people up. I really appreciate Lori taking Grace by the hand and discipling her. That's exactly what's got to be done. And it should be happening with the men as well. We've got all the time in the world to do it. When you desire the Word of God, you automatically start following His authoritative commandments to us. It just happens. When we desire the Word of God, our thoughts are centered on obeying. I'm going to have to move along here. Look at verse 11 in Psalm 119. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Memorize God's word. Memorize God's word. We need to replace the old with the new. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Many of you know that verse. I urge you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Listen to this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you will prove to be what the will of God is. And what's that? That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God does that when we start memorizing His word. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, do in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. We are to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. And we do that by memorization. A lot of people just say, well, I can't memorize. Yeah, you can. You just don't want to memorize. Because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work. But when you do, you get blessed by it. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Psalm 37:31. Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. When the word of God is in your heart, your steps many times will not slip. You can't think of two things at the same time. When you're thinking of the word of God, you can't think of something else. But if you're thinking of something else, you can't think of the word of God. Choose this day whom you will serve. Deuteronomy 11:18. Deuteronomy 11:18. Stick with me with this. 11:18 says, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be at the frontals of your forehead. And then it goes on about teaching the young. It should be permeate our whole being. That's what the Word of God does. And especially when it comes to spiritual warfare. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Probably one of the greatest things that happened to me after I got saved, I took a course called Navigators 2-7. Maybe some of you have heard it. It's a course, it's a 3-year course. And by the time you get done, you memorize 88 verses of God's Word. In order to pass the course, you have to say all 88 verses at one time. It takes a while. But in order to pass the course, that's what you got to do. 2-7 is, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Memorizing the word of God is probably one of the greatest things that you can do. I always would write them down on a sheet of paper and stick it in my pocket. And as I go, I keep pulling it out, putting it back in my pocket. I did that a lot when I was up in the lab. When I had something going on an instrument, I'd pull it out and I'd look at it. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit jams it down in your heart and in your mind. And you can't forget it. God's word is amazing, amazing thing. Let's go to the next one, Psalm 119. You'll find that verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me but thy statute. Study the word of God. Study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, most of we all know that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, handling accurately the knowledge of truth. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. On every word that comes out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correcting, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, when you study the Word of God, you become proficient, you become prepared, and you become productive. You want to get involved. You want to be part of the kingdom. You'll be busy sharing your faith. You'll be busy teaching. You'll be busy using your gifts. That's what God requires of us. God will do what He promised. He will do what He promised. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. I love this verse. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return without watering the earth, and make it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. We got a powerful God, folks. He gave us His Word. He helps us to walk with Him. He's with us as we do as He asks us to do. He infiltrates our whole being and He changes us from the inside out. If you're here and you're just not being changed from the inside out, you need to question whether you belong to the Lord. Don't just think that a simple little prayer is going to do it for you and then you can go and do what you want. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, folks, you will be changed. That's what it means to be born again. It's not if, it will happen. It will happen. Back to Psalm 119. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. With my lips I have told all the ordinances of my mouth. Teach God's word. Teach the word of God. You know what one wonderful thing is about teaching God's word? Is that you learn more than who you're teaching. How many times did Pastor Kurt walk up the middle so excited about what the Holy Spirit taught him that week? He says, I just can't wait to share with you what God has taught me this week. And you can see it in his actions and in his eyes and in his voice. I got the privilege, I think it's a privilege, of teaching the young junior and senior hires. And it's a privilege to me to do that. And I have to admit, I'm ready for a break. But the main thing is, when I go into that class, I'm learning, and maybe not, maybe they are too, but I'm learning more than I think sometimes they are. And maybe that's not the case, but I know that I have to put the time into studying the Word of God. I got to put the time into it. And when I do, it seems like God blesses my socks off. I learn so much from the Word of God because it forces me to get into it. I came from a church that if your children were in Sunday school, you were expected to teach in Sunday school. You don't have to have the gift of teaching to teach young people. You have a whole curriculum all laid out before you. All you got to do is read it. I came from a church that if you had children in a nursery, you were expected to be part of that nursery training. That was an expectation of the church. And nobody grumbled about it. It happens. Teaching the Word of God purifies your mind. It does. Teaching is so rewarding. Let's go to verse 14 in Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the ways of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Celebrate victories. Celebrate victories in God's word. What do I mean by celebrate victories? Remember who you were before you came to Christ. We talk a lot about this on Tuesday nights at our evangelism meeting, how we look back on what kind of people we were before we came to Christ and what he has done in our life since then. It's a constant celebration of what God has done, and that motivates us to want to tell others our testimony, because the power is real and it's true. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, if you don't know, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedient. Among them, Paul says, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ, because it's by grace you are saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness for us in Christ Jesus. This should cause us to celebrate the things that God has done in your life. What about answers of prayers? Do you remember that? You're praying and God answers your prayers. Do you ever have your prayer answered in seconds? I had twice already. Man, it was really cool. I still look back on that time. And I just remember the presence of God with me and how he answered it so quickly. Why doesn't he do it all the time? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't appreciate it then. But when it happens, I think it's just knowing that God is with you, living inside you, makes all the difference in the world. We should constantly be celebrating the victories that God brings into our life. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Has God done great things in your life? Celebrate that. Because as you focus on those things, you won't have time to think of negative things. You won't have time to worry and anxiety. Remember the anxiety that I worried about on Friday when I was supposed to preach and water's dripping from my ceiling? I look back on it now and I'm thinking, Milo, you were pretty stupid. It's all past. And God put a message together. The dripping stopped. Everything is good. It was a waste of time worrying and letting that anxiety start controlling my heart. Man, celebrate victories, folks. We need to celebrate. Quickly look at Psalm 33. We're letting the Word of God richly dwell within us right now. Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, all you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with shout and joy, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of God. Wow. And then Psalm 105 tells us to remember. To remember. Psalm 105, 4 and 5 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wonders which He has done, His marvels, and the judgment uttered by His mouth." It's one thing the nation of Israel just did not do. Remember that? In the desert? Constantly forgetting what God has done. Constantly. Going back to Psalm 119, we're moving along. Verse 16? No, verse 15. Aha. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. "And this book of the law," I almost forgot it. "And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Success from anxiety, success from worry. We're in Psalm 119. Go over to verses 97 and 100. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day long. Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. For I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." When you meditate on the Word of God, you become a student of His Word. There's another word for meditation, and it's called pondered. Do you remember where that was used in Scripture? It was when the angel came to Mary and told Mary what was going to be happening. And in Luke 2:19, it says that she treasured all that was said to her, pondering it in her heart. Thinking about what was going to be happening to her. We need to do that in light of God's Word. Verse 16, you're saying, whew, finally. Verse 16, delight in God's Word. Delight in God's Word. The more we delight in God's Word, the more we will not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. It's verses that I didn't read purposely. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Listen to this. "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." In whatever he does. I do a lot of hunting out in Montello, and I got a certain tree that's next to a dike. It's like a small little creek. But this tree is as solid as a rock. And I have a tree stand up there. And some of you that know what I'm talking about have a smile on your face. You just got that special tree stand that just always seems to produce. But you know, when I go out there, I never have to worry about that tree blowing down. And in Montello, a lot of trees blow down. They get strong, straight winds. A lot of them are cottonwood, and there is just they got no base to them at all. I don't know how many tree stands we lost from trees tipping down. Luckily, we weren't in them. But this one tree, because it's got all the water in the world, it's got all the nourishment it needs, constantly sucking up moisture into its trunk. And the leaves seem to stay green way in the fall. Good cover when it comes to deer hunting. I always think of that when it comes to this verse, how its leaves remain green. Our leaves or our walk with the Lord will remain strong as we take our nourishment from the Lord. As we take our nourishment from the Lord. So do you have a pure mind? If not, start getting into the Word of God. Spend a little bit more time than 5 minutes a day. Make it part of your life. Protect your heart from your mind. Or your mind, I should say. Because you know what? It just takes a little bit of anger to wreck a family. It takes a little bit of bitterness to break apart a friendship. It takes a little bit of lust in order to have an adulterous affair. And it just takes a little bit of the love of money in order to pursue riches rather than the Lord. When you're right with God, you have all the riches that you can handle. You may be here right now, and a lot of this is what I'm saying is foreign to you. You're never into the Word. You may not know anything about the Word of God. Well, you need to know. If you are here and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my friends, you are in big trouble. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. God sent His Son down to the face of the earth to live a holy and perfect life, a life that you were supposed to live and didn't, and I was supposed to live and didn't. Jesus Christ is our way out of this mess. He took your sins upon the cross when they killed Him on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. That's what Scripture tells us. You can have a free ticket to heaven by putting your faith and trust only in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then get this. He rose again from the dead. That was God's seal of approval that sacrifice on the cross was payment for your personal sins. Paul says, if Christ didn't die, if He didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins. He said, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, why am I going through all of this fighting animals in Ephesus? They put Him in arenas and He was fighting for His life. He goes, why am I doing this for no reason if there's no resurrection of the dead? He said, if there's no resurrection from the dead, not even Christ raised. And how foolish is that? And in the same chapter, he says that after he raised from the dead, 500 people at one time saw him alive. How many witnesses do you need? Folks, Jesus is the way. And you need to put your faith and trust with Him alone for your eternal life. I did that almost 40 years ago. And I never looked back since. He's given me a brand new life. Oh, there's times that there's struggles and I blow it. But He says, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. So God's wrath or His anger isn't against me anymore. Without Jesus, it is. You're in big trouble. But when you know Christ and you put your faith in Him, believe that He took your sins and paid for them, God has nothing but love for you. Nothing but love. When you blow it, He picks you up, dusts you off, forgives you, and says, let's keep going. What a God we have. What a God we have. And then God proved that by raising Him from the dead. I think many times that we don't talk enough about the resurrection. Easter just ain't enough. Because if it wasn't for the resurrection, we wouldn't have the Christian faith. That's our seal of approval, is the resurrection, folks. That's your proof that God is alive and well. You know what made Jesus real to me? Is there were three different sins in my life that I could not stop. And I tried and I tried and I tried. I couldn't do it. And I gave my life to Christ and I says, Lord, if you want me cleaned up, you're going to have to do it because I can't do it. Those three sins have never been part of my life again. I know Jesus is real. Because nobody could have cleaned my life up. Don't walk out that door without knowing that you're trusting in Jesus for your eternal life. I beg you. And if you do walk out that door without Christ, whatever you do, don't die. Don't die. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful for your word. And Father, we are even more grateful than for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what he has done for us. Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't know that, who needs to know his sins need, or her sins need to be forgiven, to know that just being good and going to church isn't enough to get them to heaven, Lord, may they cry out to you now in a simple prayer, a prayer just like, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I can't get to heaven on my own. And I know and understand that I need salvation. And now I place my faith and trust in what you did through your Son. Father, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. And give me the gift of eternal life. From this day forward, help me to walk with you. Help me to honor you. And help me to love you for the rest of my life. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, Jesus says that you are born again and you will see a difference in your life. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, for your word speaking to us. Lord, we went through a lot of your verses, a lot of the words that you said. Forgive us for maybe getting tired and sleepy or whatever the case. But Lord, help us to cling to every word that you say to us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. And Lord, we do again lift up our pastor that you would bring him back to health quickly so we can see him again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So if there's anyone here, if those words that Milo was saying, if you gave your heart to the Lord today, don't leave here without saying something to someone. Seek Milo out. Seek out some of the other elders here at the church. We would love to talk with you and share more with you about how to live for Christ. So we're going to sing a song here. This is a closing song, More Love to Thee. I wanted to kind of give just a little background just on this song only. And it basically is that the author of this song, her life was just riddled with trouble. There was just a constant burden that God allowed into her life. And she wrote a poem, and this poem that she wrote are the words to this song, More Love to Thee. And she wrote these songs in the middle of a lot of pain. But think about that as you're singing this now. She had just lost two children. Her body was racked with pain. And she made a statement that's quoted. This song, by the way, sat for 10 years in a poem, and then it was after 10 years someone put it to music, and it was sung at her own funeral. So it's a beautiful song, but it means a lot with the history of it. And a quote from her, she says, "It's a wonderful mercy to be allowed even to suffer if thereby one can glorify him." So let's think about these words as we sing "More Love to Thee" today.
Shall be